Sometimes it's easy to be a good citizen. You go to work every day, you obey the law, you vote in elections, you pay your taxes. That's easy enough, right? But what about when you are working for the government and you are asked to do something that is clearly illegal or that constitutes waste, fraud, or abuse? Well, we would hope that you would blow the whistle. But at the same time, you know that the consequences are serious, the stakes are high, and then you do it anyway. You're in for a fight. But at least you have the law on your side. Now buckle up for the ride. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. The media focus so much on the senior-most levels of government. That's where many of the most consequential decisions are made that impact our lives. That's where foreign policy and military policy are determined. That's where monetary policy is decided. And it's these policies and other high-level government actions that, for the most part, give us the countries that we have. But what most people don't realize, or perhaps don't think about, is that much of what makes a country run day to day is done at the local and regional levels. Think about the local governmental entities that handle food assistance, that protect children and the elderly, or that process retirement assistance or housing subsidies, maybe health care, even drug treatment programs. Those are the people who actually make the government run. Without them, everything would just grind to a halt. What happens then when a supervisor tells an employee to do something that he or she is not licensed or qualified to do? What happens when the request itself is illegal? Really, there's only one answer here. You blow the whistle. And if you have to, you take to the courts. Our next guest is in the midst of just such a fight. Deanna Ratliff was an employee of the Allegheny-Covington Department of Social Services in the U.S. state of Virginia. According to a lawsuit that she recently filed with the Allegheny County Circuit Court, Deanna was wrongly fired from her job not once, but twice. The first time she was fired was for refusing to violate the law by performing work that she was not certified or licensed to do. She was reinstated by the state. But then she was fired again in retaliation for her original whistleblowing. So she did exactly what she should have done. She sued. We're very happy that Deanna joins us today, along with her attorney, Tommy Strelka. Thank you both so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Deanna, as background for our viewers, give us an idea of the kind of work that you were doing for the county and for the state of Virginia, and tell us what it was that your supervisor wanted you to do that was so inappropriate.
I was the supervisor of Virginia Department of Social Services, Allegheny County Department, and I was the supervisor over benefits, which is the benefits for SNAP, Medicaid, and TANF. What had happened is our CPS and our APS had left the facility, as in resigned, once our new director came to the agency. Because of that, we had no CPS or APS workers, and she had asked the supervisors to start filling in where they had no one. She had asked for me to do all the intake calls. I had to go out on two different occasions to do two different families, in which I did not feel comfortable doing that because I was not trained or certified in to be a CPS or APS worker. I had several employees under me as their supervisor, and they were all brand new employees. They were still in training to be the benefit workers. And in order to be a full eligible benefit worker, you have to be certified through the state of Virginia. And none of my workers, except for three, were trained and certified. The director had asked that I put the new people onto these cases right away, and I had advised her that I could not do that. And she had continually requested that I do that, and I was terminated.
There's been some press coverage of your suit in the local media, and one thing that struck me is that this has to do with two very important governmental entities, Child Protective Services and Adult Protective Services. So we're talking about literally the most vulnerable members of our society. You're alleging in your lawsuit that your supervisor repeatedly ordered you to perform services that required certification and training per specific regulations. You didn't have that certification or training. And this supervisor also routinely directed you to assign newly hired staff members to process benefit applications with no certification or training. Local investigative journalists have confirmed your version of the story. So you objected to these orders internally, and then what? Were you ignored? What happened next?
What happened next was it was all in a matter of a few weeks where I was put back on a back burner. I was taken out of the role of, I wasn't taken out of the role of supervisor. I was just told that all my employees under me would no longer be under me. So I was still supervisor, but I had no one to supervise. And then it came, everybody was making up things to put against me to get me terminated. I had spoke with the director several times asking for a meeting. She refused to give me a meeting. I was brought into her office right before I was terminated. She tried to write me up on false accusations two different times. On the third time, that's when she fired me. I was in the office with her and the assistant director when she did fire me. And the reasons why she fired me are still to this day, I really don't understand why I was terminated.
We frequently hear that the life of a whistleblower is a solitary one. And as soon as things become controversial, coworkers, friends, sometimes even family members distance themselves. What's the reaction been to your whistleblowing among your colleagues and also in the broader community?
Prior to the new director coming into the agency, we had a very close-knit family there at the agency. We were all very close. We were all confident with each other, and we had no issues amongst anybody in the facility until the new director came in. After that, several things have happened. I've lost friends. I've lost some mentors that I've met along the way. It came to a point where I got so depressed once that I was terminated that I had to be put on medication. Because of the medication the doctor put me on, I almost lost my marriage over this. We had to basically move from the state of Virginia just so I could find employment again.
Wow. Well, thank you, Deanna and Tommy. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what a whistleblower can do not only to protect himself or herself, but what the whistleblower can do to change the entire system. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with Deanna Ratliff, a whistleblower in the U.S. state of Virginia, and with her attorney, Tommy Strelka. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'd like to go through the modalities of your whistleblowing. I know from personal experience that a lot of thought goes into these decisions. What was your process? You couldn't really go through your chain of command because it was your chain of command that was the problem. So what did you do? How did you actually blow the whistle?
I still followed procedures and went through the chain of command. I went to the board. I went to the regional consultants. I went to the state. When I was fired in October and I called the state and let the state know exactly what was going on, they rehired me. They rehired me and put me on administrative pay until a full investigation was found. And what had happened is I think it was a week to 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from one of the people that does our health insurance. And she had told me, Deanna, I'm really sorry to do this. I'm going to go ahead and pay the money back into your account for being taken out of your health insurance. And I said, what are you talking about? And that's when I was informed that I was fired a second time. The Department of Social Services never told me the second time that I was terminated. I found out through an outside employee that I was terminated. So I went through the state. I went through regional consultants. I sent emails. I told them everything that was going on inside the business. And I was still terminated again.
So let's talk about that. You are fired and then you're reinstated. How long were you back at work then before you were fired again? And is that when you decided to go to court when they fired you for the second time?
Yes. When I was fired a second time, that's when I thought I needed to get legal representation. I believe it was a week to 2 weeks that I was fired a second time.
So that happened very quickly. Let's talk about the law. Do you feel like the law as it stands in Virginia right now affords you a chance at what really is a redress of grievances? Of course, there's a whistleblower protection law at the federal level. What statutory support do you have at the state level? And what kind of a timeline are you operating under until your suit is heard? And frankly, Tommy, you may want to weigh in on this too, as an attorney.
The law that we are using is a whistleblower law that is allowed for local government and for public employees. However, Virginia is rather well known as not having very many robust laws. The Fraud and Abuse Whistleblower Protection Act allows employees like Deanna Ratliff to claim retaliation, which she has done, but it's only been on the books for a few number of years. The private industry employees just became protected in Virginia in July of 2020 under a new state law, and there are just other states that are more concerned, seemingly, with plaintiffs and whistleblowers. The federal whistleblowing regimen really regards whether or not federal tax dollars are being wasted, and this matter seemingly regarded a lot of state tax dollars being wasted, and along with other violations of state law. So There are not a lot of whistleblowers in the state of Virginia. There just aren't. The laws are not as robust as the other states. But hopefully that can change, and it's people like Ms. Ratliff who make those ripple effects happen.
Deanna, do you want to comment on that?
Well, he is correct. I just felt that the reason why I seek legal representation is because the director that's there now is abusing the system. She is not following policy procedures, and it weighed on me not knowing if our children were safe or if the adults in our community were safe having her in that role. She did not follow policy and procedure to the point where we lost everybody in Adult Protective Services and Child Protective Services. They all left that facility because of her. And because there was no one there, it did make our community vulnerable because she was the director.
I'd like to get both of you to comment on this last one. Deanna, beginning with you, what advice would you give somebody considering blowing the whistle on waste, fraud, abuse, or illegality? And is there anything that you would do differently?
I would not do anything differently. I knew something was going to happen. That's why I made sure I printed off all my text messages between myself and those in higher up with me, all emails. I protected myself because I knew what she was doing was not right. I would say to anybody out there that wants to be a whistleblower, you may be the only one to do it. You're going to stand alone. If you have a good support system like I do have, that's what you need. But if you are the only person standing and you know what you're doing is 100% right, stand alone.
And Tommy, from a legal perspective, what advice would you give would-be whistleblowers?
If you stand by a principle, a lot of times there are laws that also mirror that stance. In other words, if you raise your hand at the workplace because you're concerned about something that you consider to be unlawful, in most states, in most situations of employment, you are protected from retaliation. Ms. Ratliff was protected from retaliation, and that's what her lawsuit's about.
What can the average person do to encourage our elected officials to enact legislation, or even our regulatory officials at the state and local level, to enact new regulations that would protect whistleblowing and truth-telling, especially in light of the fact that what we're talking about here is clearly in the public good?
I have a 2 cents on that. One thing is that just awareness of who a whistleblower is. In my experience of doing this for closely 20 years, whistleblowers are not out for a buck, a quick one or a slow one. They're not out for that. The reason that they pursue the matters is because of a wrong and they were harmed. And they're not there to try to get rich. Whistleblowers want sunlight on a situation that was of great concern to them because they felt that the situation was either breaking the law or otherwise harmed others. This is something that needs to be encouraged, not frowned upon. And at no time should anyone consider whistleblowers be individuals who are trying to game the system or achieve something that they didn't earn. They come to the table having been harmed. That's what I'd like to say. Thank you.
And you, Deanna?
I would agree to what he has said. A lot of people don't think that whistleblowers are harmed. I was mentally harmed. I was embarrassed the day that they terminated me the first time. When I opened up the door, I had police officers standing there to meet me, to escort me out of the building. This was to cause embarrassment to me in front of all my workers. So it was a very bad experience, and I loved my community. I loved working with my clients, and knowing that I was taken out of that, I went into a very bad depression.
Tommy, is there anything from a legal perspective that you would like to cover that we haven't covered?
Sure. So let's talk about retaliation. Most whistleblowers who are able to pursue anything, pursue it on the basis of retaliation. What is retaliation? Retaliation is when you are harmed for engaging in what is known as a protected activity. Now, there are federal statutes that say, hey, these things over here, if you do these at the workplace, these are protected. Usually these things are subject matters that you can talk about. For instance, things that you can, I like to say, raise your hand at the workplace. Subjects that you are allowed to talk about by raising your hand at the workplace with the chain of command above you, with management, with leadership, and not receive any harm or otherwise be retaliated against for doing that. So virtually every statute that protects whistleblowers is a retaliation statute, meaning that it lists things that are protected at the workplace, that if a employee engages in those protected things but then is subsequently retaliated, they have a claim. For this statute, it's wrongdoing is the protected activity. Ms. Ratliff engaged in the protected activity of reporting wrongdoing at the workplace. Wrongdoing is defined by the statute as various violations of law.
I think our viewers ought to remember, too, that there is a generally agreed upon legal definition of whistleblowing. And forgive me for sounding like a broken record, but it is bringing to light any evidence of waste, fraud, abuse, illegality, or threats to the public health or public safety. Whistleblowing is done in the public interest, regardless of the high cost. And that is something that at every level of government, and not just of government, but in society, we should be promoting. Thank you, Deanna and Tommy, for shedding light on this case.
Thank you.
All right, sure thing. Thanks, y'all, for the interest in the case.
The kind of integrity and transparency exhibited in Deanna Ratliff's fight against illegality has to be a part of our culture. Integrity and transparency have to be taught as fundamental values. Without whistleblowers, impunity becomes the very foundation upon which systems of corruption are built. And if that impunity is not demolished, all efforts to bring an end to this kind of corruption are in vain. I'd like to thank our guests, Deanna Ratliff, and her attorney for being with us today. And thank you to our viewers for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. Please follow me on Substack, @John Kiriakou. We'll see you next time.